This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to a Monday. Welcome to 5 days and five shows until we get to the Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to the fact that the suit is out of the office today. What?
I'm not even sure the suit's on dry land currently.
I can tell you right now, he's not operating the boat.
Yeah, true.
If they all want to get back to shore. All right. So, this half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Markets are in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Todd, how many of those insurance needs do you have off the top of your head?
Car and home.
That's two. Some have more. Yeah. Everybody has multiple insurance needs. Everybody does. And Purdy Insurance handles them all. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Wednesday, August 7th, at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Susquehanna Valley United Way. Todd will be out there putting on a brilliant driving exhibition. Looking forward to watching that.
Only if I can throw it.
Oh,
nice. Otherwise, if I'm using my driver, your best bet is to stand in the middle of the fairway.
Oh, goodness gracious, that just sounds so cruel. Okay. And but Purdy Insurance can take care of all your insurance needs, and they'll do everything they can to save you money. And saving money, okay, is more important than ever. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, and we continue to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You realize that Purdy and Sunbury Motors and Brewers Outlet have been with us every day for 12 and a half years? How about that?
That's pretty impressive. And two, I did not realize you've been doing this show for 12 and a half years.
Just to press the audience, like, we've been listening to that knucklehead for 12 and a half years?
Honestly, really? I remember when they started it. I can't believe it's been 12 and a half years since I was doing Lewisburg football.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you were. How about that? Well, I'll say this. The games, broadcasting the games, is more fun to me than ever. And that's a statement I would have made 10 years ago. That's a statement I would have made 20 years ago. I mean, and for some reason, whatever it is, I think I can come up with the reasons. I've always loved games to begin with, to get to announce it and talk about it. But what's really been great are the people I work with, the people I work around. I just have more fun with it than I ever have. And I mean, that's been great. And then this show's been just a lot of fun for me. Been a lot of fun. A lot of great guests. We have Steve Klein today. We have Scott Fransky tomorrow. We have Neil Coulong. Do we have to have Matt today, right?
Yeah, 2:35. He has they're doing a district softball game in Williamsport tomorrow. I think they're going up a little early. work again, that darn work.
See, you finally understand my stance on this. Hate when the job gets in the way. But yeah, and I know people are like, the NIL and the money, and like, yeah, I said, you know what? You have to adapt. And so I have no problem who gets what. Zero. I really don't. Just on a Saturday afternoon, Jack Ham and I get to sit there and we have to call a game. And not only that, it is a Penn State game. Pretty cool deal. So
I did see the non-Power 5 conferences are quite upset today.
Is this about the...
The settlement, yeah.
Settlement, yeah. Now, the way I read it, if you're a non-FBS school, it's going to be like $2.5 million. Did I read that correctly?
Well, I think the main gist of it is they don't feel like the Power 5 is paying their share, that it should be split, that the Power 5 conferences should pay way more of it than they are, rather than everybody splitting it equally.
Well, they're not splitting. Well, I don't know. What are they splitting equally here?
I think they're talking. They're talking is about this. The NCAA is paying.
Well, okay. Well, okay. Oh, you're talking about that's the back pay part of it.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is what I would say to the smaller schools in no uncertain terms. Great. Let's go to trial. Okay? You think it's like it's bad now? Wait till you go to trial and then lose, and you will lose. Okay? Because guess what? This is an antitrust case. What does that mean? That means that whenever they announce what the number is, it's troubled. Okay? It's troubled. Okay, big schools. Okay, here's the big schools. Let me tell you, small schools, big schools. In this settlement, you can whine, moan, and complain about how the NCAA is paying the back pay part. Well, moving forward, if you're a major school, guess what? Okay? $20 million is the top-out number, and guess what? As Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard said, quote, as it currently stands, I don't know many schools that will be able to pay even remotely close to $20 million without eliminating some portion of what they currently spend. Oh, gee, what does that mean? For the back pay damages the NCAA would use, okay, this is what they have in reserves. $1.1 billion. All right? That means they'd have to come up with another $1.6 billion. This is where the smaller schools are upset. Okay? And that is the $1.6 billion would come out of the NCAA basketball tournament credits. And 60% of that would come out of the Power Four conferences. All right. So that's how it would work out. So the 60% number would be what, a billion?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just reading it. 60% would be about a billion. And yeah. The smaller conferences, I think that somebody like the West Coast Conference is responsible for about 3 million, would lose 3 million. Somebody like the Patriot League would lose 2 million.
One Division I commissioner estimated that non-FBS conferences would be on the hook for $2.5 million per year. Now, that's the conference to help cover the NCAA costs. And that's the conference divided by members. The problem is that cuts into 25% of the annual revenue those schools receive from the NCAA. Now, what the pandemic taught us is when there was a reduced number from the NCAA basketball tournament, it cut into everybody. It cut into everybody, every level. And I realize if you're a smaller school, you have a smaller budget but a lot of needs, and you're counting, and again, let's go to that 3 to 5 year budgeting plan. There's no way that Truax sat there at Bucknell and said, hey, you know what? We may be on the hook for some money here from the NCAA in the 3 to 5 year budgeting plan. No way. And now it's there, and you have to figure out how to work around it. That's not easy.
Well, I wonder how many seven-figure lines there are in a Bucknell budget even.
It's a good question, and it's something we don't know. Bucknell's a private school, yeah. So we don't know what their numbers are.
No, but I mean, they're not.
I mean, you could look at maybe a Colgate.
Yeah.
Colgate might be one to look at because Colgate's public. Right? Colgate's public, right?
That's what Google's for.
It's a public school. If you looked up their numbers on equity and athletics, see Bob from Hanover, right? It's there. I'm telling you, it's there. And they're good at it. You can come up with a whole bunch of things, right? Things that people don't want to find out about. They don't want to talk about it. What do you mean Big Ten women's basketball lost $48 million? I can add. It's like per school. It's going line by line by line. I found it. Right? Didn't take long either. It's a really good story that nobody will write. One non-Power 4 source said, quote, the burden that's being pushed to us is not following any sort of logic as it relates to the court order. Okay. The Power Conference is responsible for 60% of the damages. So, of the 60, and these are distributions. These are will not be direct checks. The 60% mark, my question would be, and this is something I don't know, in the last, you'd have to go back to 2016. So between 2016 and 2020, because that's the back pay area, right? I believe that's the back pay area. What's the percentage of Power Conference teams in the NCAA tournament? What's the percentage of non-power? And I think that's how you should determine what the number is. Right?
Sounds fair to me.
I mean, in other words, how many did you have in? What was the percentage? And what's the percentage of non? So let's just do it just for the heck of it. This past NCAA tournament, right? So, 2024 NCAA basketball tournament. Okay, men's bracket. All right, so let's just get C. UConn be 1, Northwestern 2, Auburn 3, BYU 4, Illinois 5, Washington State 6, Iowa State 7, North Carolina 8, Mississippi State 9, Michigan State 10, Alabama 11, Clemson 12, Baylor 13, Arizona 14. So that's one side of the bracket. Other half of the bracket. Houston makes 15, Nebraska 16, Texas A&M 17, Wisconsin 18, Duke 19, Texas Tech 20, NC State 21, Kentucky 22, Florida 23, Colorado 24. I will include the Big East. Marquette 25, Purdue 26, TCU 27, Kansas 28, South Carolina 29, Oregon 30. Creighton 31, Texas 32, Tennessee 33. Colorado. Yeah. Anybody else that lost in the 33. Virginia would be 34, right? So they have to go back to the... So it's 50%. Uh-oh. That's not the answer people were hoping to hear. It's 68 teams, 34 are Power 5. Uh-oh. That's not good. So half. So 60% may be actually a fair number, at least in that one, right?
Yeah. I thought the other interesting line was, is it said that they weren't going to take anything from Division II or Division III, but that could change. And if that happens, that's probably not going to be good.
No, it's, look, here's another issue. Okay, the issue of unintended consequences. You always have to talk about the unintended consequences. Here's one. Now, during COVID, I'll freely admit, in COVID, I thought that because of the massive financial hardship that hit intercollegiate athletics in COVID, that you'd see programs coming out of COVID dropping sports to make ends meet. Right? Really believed it. Thought that was going to be one of the consequences of it moving forward. And you know what? Nobody dropped sports. Oh, there were a couple here, like Illinois dropped four, but like everybody kept their programs. And Stanford thought about it, didn't do it. UCLA thought about it, didn't do it. Okay. So I was wrong about that. Wrong. This time I look at this and the expenditure part of it, I don't see how you balance the books unless you come up with some creative financing to do it that allows you to keep all the sports you have.
I think there's going to have to be another division, to be honest. I don't know if that's the answer, but I think there's going to be a direct line between the haves and haves-nots money-wise when this all comes down. I think that's pretty clear.
Well, I mean, there's certain places that don't have to worry about cutting sports, right? And one of them is the SEC. They don't have to cut any sports. You want to know why? Because there aren't, I mean, most of those programs only have 17 to 20 sports anyway. They've already pared down. And they've done it a long time ago. I mean, Texas has 17. Texas has more money than the suit. You see, Texas Athletics. Okay.
I don't see how the Middle American Conference is able to play Division I football later on this decade if they have to pay. I mean, it's not going to be $20 million for one of those schools, but it's still, with the way they talk about their budgets and things like that.
That's fair. Yeah. So Texas has baseball, men's basketball, football, golf, swimming and diving, men's tennis, Texas relays and track and field cross country, women's basketball, beach volleyball. Women's golf, rowing, soccer, softball, swimming and diving, Texas, and volleyball. Texas has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 sports, but one of them is Texas relays, so they really have 17. All right. And so they have 17 sports in Texas. 17. Like, that's it. That's all they're financing. And that's what you're seeing across the board with some of these programs. Right? Let's go to Alabama. I think Alabama's the same. I mean, I took a pretty good tour of their facilities the last time I was down there, which is five, 6 years ago? Okay. Alabama Athletics. That was a good picture of you. You look good. What? No?
I'm afraid it's like the elephant or something.
No, you look great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. They have 15 sports. They have 15 sports. Ding, 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 ding. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 sports. Now, some of that is track and field is not, you know, and cross country. So that gets you to 19. Right? And that's all they have. Okay. That's it. And so they don't have to worry about cutting much, but other people are going to sit back and go, yeah, I may have to cut. Because they need to get themselves into a workable number. Steve Klein, next half hour. Matt Cotrillo at 2:45 to put the show into the dumpster. No?
It's only the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that's just him talking.
True. He said he's mad about what Jokic said last night. I'm trying to figure out what that could be.
Jeez, I don't know.
I thought he was pretty gracious last night, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Can't wait for that segment.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. IUP Baseball, its first ever Super Regional. They will host Seton Hill in a best-of-three series this weekend. And we're joined by Steve Klein. Steve, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, you put something together, and as time goes, the pieces start to fit. When did you get a feeling that your team had what it took to at least be in a spot where they could get to this level?
I think last year when we had our whole team kind of back, and we picked up a kid from Lock Haven, Ziders, basically from Stones Grove, and I kind of knew that he was a good missing piece for us, and he, you know, a good leadership guy. So we brought him aboard, and We had the pieces. We just had to believe that we could actually win some games. That's, you know, the kids started believing. They started winning some really close games. I told them everything, you know, matters at home. You have to win your home games, you know, and, you know, try to play even on the road, but we actually played really well on the road, too, so I'm not going to complain. But it fell in, and our kids started believing that they could win in any situation, any time.
Well, I don't have to tell you, of all people, the importance of pitching. So, Steve, did you know pitching was important? How strong was your starting pitching to then set up your bullpen as the season went?
Yeah, I mean, we had four really, you know, quality starters. I mean, it's we're benefited that we only play 7 inning games in, you know, in the weekend series or your PSAC tournament, I mean, games. But our starting pitching has been rock solid. They have given us really good games. I think we had just maybe one or two bad outings from that side, and, you know, in the year. But most of the time, if we lost, it was just because we never hit the ball or we didn't have our timely hitting. I always say defense, pitching, and timely hitting. That's what wins you games.
No question. Now I want to ask you about the analytics part of it. I mean, when you pitched in the majors, right? People didn't talk about analytics at that point. Now you're coaching it. Does it enter into your thought process at all, or is it to you about playing the fundamentals of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just you're here. I mean, at that level above, they're all, you know, they're trying to find out the best matchups possible, and you just don't know day to day. If I'm 0-10 going into the series, and I'm facing a guy that's, you know, been lights out, it's going to be a battle. I think it's just, you know, you just have to have good instincts. I mean, Bochy was really good at that. Tony La Russa was really good at that. It was like, your superstars got to play. You know, they need to be consistent. They need to hit. They get, you know, same thing with pitching. You know, you can't run from somebody. Everybody should face everybody. There's numbers that stand out to you. If someone's hitting like 800 in certain counts or certain pitches or, you know, off certain guys, yeah, I mean, you're like, okay, we'll be a little bit more cautious, but you still, you know, you have to play the game. There's still human error in it. And especially at the college level, you can say, hey, throw this pitch inside, and the kid might throw the ball 3 feet off the outside corner. You just never know what the – I mean, it's all good and dandy up at the higher levels because the guys can kind of throw the ball where they want. And some of these D1 schools are really pretty good, too. The kids are just throwing the ball well. But, you know, here at the D2 level, you know, you got some good arms. You got guys who could pitch at a D1 level, and they just you know, they might lack velo, but they, you know, a lot of them can really pitch. And a lot of them know how to win at this level without, you know, pitching the contact more than just trying to strike people out.
It's interesting because besides Penn State football, my summer announcing job play-by-play is the State College Spikes, and they were with the St. Louis Cardinals for a long time, for years. So I did get a pretty good Tony La Russa education because several of the guys right, played for him or coached with him and had an influence over what we were seeing there. What kind of influence do guys like Bochy and La Russa have on how you coach?
Oh, I mean, it's everything. I had Steve Bizarnik, who was a Penn State grad. He coached at Allegheny Community College, and this guy, I think he was like the second all-time winningest JUCO coach. And he was, you know, he's from Milton, Pennsylvania. He's a tough-nosed guy, man. That's something about grit, grinding, and being tough, and more mentally tough than physically, is the key to a lot of things in this world and in this life. You know, if you're a savage, there's some good things about it, but, you know, on the field, I want that guy who wants to go out there and give me everything he's gotten, and off the field, you can be the nicest kid in the world. But once you're on that field, it's time to grind it, be gritty, tough, you know, and, you know, always think you can always win. Always think you can overcome, you know. And that's what, you know, that's what those guys had in the big leagues. Like, Bochy and those guys would never let you just be satisfied with making an out. You know, they're like, yeah, you could do better, you know. You're going to make outs. We know that as coaches, but we just don't want you to be – we don't want you to settle for it.
Well, 7 out of 10, if you're 7 out of 10 making an out, you get a raise, okay? Because you're hitting 300 at that point. We had the
about 250, you get a raise.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. In today's game, 250, you're like, wow, he is really having quite a season.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, because I know they had the blue line in the football practice field, and Penn State had a player named Sean Lee who ended up playing for years with the Dallas Cowboys at linebacker. And we always used to laugh that when he crossed the blue line, like, oh my goodness, like he was like he was skirting the line of sanity here. And as soon as he went over the blue line, he was Mother Teresa. it's like okay, and that's what you're talking about when it's time to go between the lines, right? Be the bulldog, be everything you can, right?
Yep, just your heart and soul's into it, and play your butt off, and hopefully good things happen. And then off the field, you go back to being a good person. You just respect everybody, and your nature. And I'm not saying being like an arrogant, cocky guy, but I'm saying you have to have a little, vinegar in you a little bit, and you gotta be tested. I think you gotta be able to get pushed a little bit and be able to push back.
Give me a couple of players that have played multiple positions for you, which would include pitching, that have made a difference because of their versatility.
Well, I got Ricardo Aponte. He's like my starting left fielder. He's been out there all year, but he's really a catcher. He came here and was my second string catcher, but his bat was so good, I was like, I have to get him in the lineup. So we DH him, played left field. He can play infield. I mean, I got a first baseman named Zach Miller that can play outfield. He can pitch. He can play all the outfield spots. Just a really good defender, fast guy. So, you bring him in to run some bases. Then we get to my other catcher, Davin Landers, a kid from Florida. That's his dad played with me at West Virginia. He was drafted by the Blue Jays. So we, he came up here and he could play third, first, catch. You just need guys that are versatile. And like I said, the pitching, you can do two-way, which a lot of guys, some guys do. Like Slippery Rock really does it really well here. They have a couple of kids that are really good at that. This Purcell and a kid named Gillette that was, they're both, they were like players of the year here. They were really good. They can pitch it, and they can hit it, and they can field it. As Mr. Davenport from the Giants would say, end of story.
Yeah, what was it, Jim Davenport?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Davenport, the best.
Yeah. He played third base for the Giants, didn't he? Was that if I've got the right guy.
Yeah, he was there with Willie Mays. Yep, he was Mr. Jimmy Davenport. He was one of our coaches in the minor leagues forever when I was there. And Joey Maffetano were my two of our guys that taught us a lot over in the Giants organization.
Joey Maffetano. Oh, these are baseball people here.
They're lifers.
Yeah, Steve, what kind of read do you have on Seton Hill, at least at this point, going into this thing?
Good program, good. They're well coached. They do fundamentals. If they get ahead of you, they'll try to take advantage and they'll try to run more and they'll put a little bit more pressure on you. So you just have to, you got to try to nip that in the butt and kind of stop it, on its tracks, throw some runners out, keep an eye on the base runners. But they got some guys that can swing the bat as well, and they got really good arms. They come at you. All their pitchers throw strikes. They don't mess around too much. They're coming. They're attacking you. And, they try to put you in, disadvantage counts. But they spot up pretty well, and we just got to be able to play with them. We this year we were lucky. We played pretty good against them. Last year they swept us. This year we almost had the sweep on them. But it goes back and forth. They're just a really good, fundamental, sound team. And they believe that they can win at any time in the game. Even if they're up or down by 10 or, down by 10, they'll believe they can win.
You mentioned Jim Davenport and Joey Maffetano, who, as you mentioned, they're lifers. What has it meant to you that you're still actively involved in the game at this stage of your life?
Oh, it just keeps you young. I just love it. You're passing knowledge off to guys that kind of look at you, with the wide eyes, and they're like, wow, oh, my God, really? You can do that? And just telling stories about some of the players that you played with and how you learn from them. I mean, you learn from a lot of players. I mean, just how they mentally prepare for the game. And that's where I think we lack a lot of the respect for the kids that played the game before us and stuff, is just the toughness that they had to have. Because they weren't as handed as the kids are today. They're a little bit more sheltered in the big leagues now than we were. And the guys before us were never even sheltered. So they were the grinders and the grunts and the foxhole diggers that you were like, I want to be with. and they just love baseball. Now the kids, you know, they're trying to get on podcasts, they're trying to invent things, or, it's just, it's good and dandy. I'm happy for them all. They can do whatever they have to do, but it's like, I just want the old-time baseball player who wants to sit around, drink a beer, and talk baseball, and, just hang out. And that was what you wanted as a player. I mean, that's easy living. I told people, I haven't worked yet a day in my life. I just coached baseball and played it. So it's
that's
great.
What I tell you. So I tell everybody, I announce football, basketball, and baseball. I don't work. I mean, I'm having fun every day doing what I do. I get to sit there in a football game with Jack Hams, 15 Saturdays a year. Here we go. Pretty good
now,
life.
Is Jack Ham from this area? Is he from
Johnstown.
Over here in Indiana area?
Johnstown.
Johnstown area.
Johnstown. Yeah. He's right. I mean, he's right around your area. And in fact, he does a lot of brokerage work with some people in Indiana, as a matter of fact, right around the IUP area.
He was my boys.
Oh, well, and the Cardinals would bring in instructors, and I would sit there and I would try to pick the brain of, when Willie McGee came in, pick the brain about base running and route running in the outfield. I mean, that's where you get so much from the people who have lived it, and that goes back to your point about, hey, talking baseball with baseball people.
Yeah, no offense to the analytical people, I never learned a thing about baseball from them. I learned, you can't put a piece of paper on a mound and throw the ball. They have to actually, there's human error involved in this game. And you're beat up, you might have a hamstring that's tight, you got drilled in the ribs by someone, you got hit in the knee, you slid in, you got a strawberry on your butt. There's a lot of things that can affect your play that people don't know. The rain, your body aches a little bit more, you're older. You know, there's a lot of things. Your family starts yelling at you. Your wife's complaining. kids are waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning because they're sick, and you got to go to that field, and everybody's expecting you to perform, and you're getting paid to perform. That's where the players have to understand. You sign a contract. It means for 162 days you're going to play your butt off, and hopefully more. You know, getting into the postseason, but that's what you signed that contract for. That's what Albert Bell and Jim Thome and those guys, when I first came up in Cleveland, told me. They're like, you're signing a contract to play, not to sit on the bench, to get out here and make us win. And that's a good way. I mean, Cleveland really taught us a lot coming up in that organization. I was privileged to have that whole team with, Hershiser taught me so much about pitching. And, Thome, we had Manny Ramirez, I had Kenny Lofton, I had some really good players. Omar Vizquel, Matt Williams. I was blessed to come up with a team, and then they traded me to Montreal, and I was fortunate enough to have that leadership from those couple months that I was over in Cleveland to carry me through the Montreal Expo days, because, then it was like going back to Double A, and you're just trying to find out if you belong in the big leagues or not. But
right. No, exactly. And that's, you talk about analytics. I'll expand on that. I always love how a strikeout is just like any other out. And as a baseball person, I hit the ground on the ball to short, and we don't know if the guy got up at 5 a.m. to take the kids to school. He may lay the ball into the stands. I mean, that's where they lose me right there.
Yeah, like I said, there's a, they say fly balls and strikeouts are equal. And I said, there's still a sun factor in there. Sometimes you play in these stadiums that have domes and lights, there's still a shot someone can miss it in the sun or the lights. But, like the ground balls, like we just played in Westchester this weekend, and, there was rain and stuff. And I'm like, we kept hitting pop-ups. I'm like, can we hit the ball on the ground and try to, make the defense make plays, because you got some speed. Guys got to be able to make the play. You got to get a grip of a wet ball, throw it. And that's where, just like common sense sometimes has to play in this game. Over, numbers look great. Trust me, everybody has them. But I pitched totally different when I had nobody on than I did with somebody on against good hitters. So there's, you would challenge them a little bit more with nobody on. You wanted to get them out with that fastball, because if I got you out with a fastball, you can't sit breaking ball on me, because you're always going to be looking for that fastball. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't want to get beat again with that fastball. Then now the game becomes, now the cat and mouse game comes, and it's a chess game or whatever anybody wants to say, any kind of little cliche saying, but it's it's so true. Like, you know, no one wants to get beat in with a fastball. So they're looking, they're guessing. They're like, I'm not getting beat again. And you throw a changeup. Now they weren't looking for it. It's such a mind game. It's so much fun to play it. And then just to coach it is great to see kids have success with it.
I thoroughly loved talking baseball with you today. Thanks so much for coming on. And best of luck this weekend with Seton Hall. But I just had a blast in the conversation. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me on. And like I said, you know, just everybody back home there in Sunbury and Lewisburg and Winfield, where I'm from. I said hello. Enjoy their time. Okay.
Hey, good luck, Steve. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steve Klein. Ah. He knows what it's like to get out there and like look in at his catcher and see a big leaguer, and he knows what it's like to see a big leaguer at the plate, and you know, he knows what it's like to inherit runners out of the bullpen with a big leaguer on base.
I've played and known Steve Klein probably since we were 14 or 15, and I don't think he's changed one bit in that time.
Good. That's
not
great.
It's a pure compliment.
Yeah. That tells you everything about them. Yeah, when people don't change, and they're always tough, hard-nosed, good guys, and they don't change, that tells you everything about them. So, all right. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Tomorrow, Beaver Stadium comes up. And there's going to be a conversation among the trustees about whether Penn State can afford the $700 million that's allegedly on the table. We'll go through some of the numbers from fiscal year that ended June 30th last year, which are the last ones that are out there, just so you know what the numbers at least look like in the athletic department here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Telling you Matt's in the last ever. Should we leave or just let him go or what do we do?
Why don't we play it by ear, but I'll be ready to run out the door.
By the way, Scotty Scheffler's arraignment, by the way, has been moved back from Tuesday to June 3rd. Moved back 2 weeks.
I'm guessing the way it sounds, it's going to be postponed or canceled at some point.
It'll be set. I think that they're going to drop the charges in the end. I'm with you. So, all right, this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org.